Matthew 7:21, and it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, there's a lot of people going around saying that the will of the Father is just to do, just to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and that's the will of the Father. He just said in here, this is, I think this is such an amazing scripture. He said in here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And then he describes what people think is the will, and he says, "No, that's not it. Just running around praying for people and, okay, great, they get healed and you've prophesied and you've cast out demons. That's not it." So what is his will? His simple will. His simple will is exactly what someone else said on here before. If we have not love, we're nothing. That's his will. His will is love. And however that manifests in a person's life, whether that's you're teaching them, whether that's you're leading them to Christ, whether that's you're praying for them to be healed, it's all from love. It's not from results. It's not from who cares. I've read sometimes people are saying things like this recently: "I don't care what your motivation is, as long as you get the results and get me healed." And I'm thinking, well, God cares. God is very concerned with motivation. It's high on his priority list. Very high, exceedingly high. Because otherwise you would not have a problem with people who come to him and say, "But look what I did, look what I did, look what I did." And he says, "Get away from me. I don't know you." And that knowing, we've said this before. I know I've spoken with other people about it. That word "know" in the Greek means intimately know, experientially know as oneness, as a husband and wife. That's the kind of knowing he is offering to us, and he is expecting us to enter into. And that's his will. His will is that we are intimately connected in love. Because it's obviously not just running around praying for everybody. And unfortunately, there's a section of the body that is pressuring people to feel as if they're not truly believers, if they're not in this continual activity of praying for the sick. And that is not, it says in here that of course he wants people to be healed. Of course he wants people to be prayed for. Of course he wants them to be fed. He wants them to if they're thirsty, to give them a drink. He wants them in hospitals to be visited, prisoners visited. He says all of that. But he doesn't say that's his will, which is very different. And I think we really have to look at what that means, especially if we're going to be in ministry of any kind, not just... and it doesn't matter. The truth is, we're ministers of reconciliation. That's what God says about it. Every believer is a minister of reconciliation, regardless of your position in the body, regardless of your talents, your abilities, how he works through you. We are ministers of reconciliation to God. And that's our primary function. I don't like using that word, it's so mechanical, but that's our primary expression of him. We're meant to bring people to be reconciled to him in whatever capacity, whether we use healing as a means to bring them, draw them into the kingdom, or whether we use prophecy, or whether we use evangelism, whatever it is, we are to draw them to him. And that's our higher goal. And then obviously his will is love, and all of it is done from love. And anyone, I've read recently some believers talking about the motivation not being an important factor. Anyone that actually sees that has not allowed God to enter their heart and overwhelm them, because the Father's heart is love. It's not how many healings did I get today. How hard were they, and how much did I achieve, and let me tell everyone. That's obviously not God's heart, because we know what Jesus became, nothing for us, and forsook everything that he had. So obviously not about pride. And someone's just written, I'm just reading these comments so that people don't miss out. Yes, he looked for the lost sheep. That's right. And he cares about each individual and their needs. And he's so amazing in us. I mean, when we're infused with the Holy Spirit, we're one with the Holy Spirit. That's our union with the Father. And he can, if we give him allowance to, he will do magnificent things that we never could imagine. I mean, for us to reduce it down to just healing, you know, physical healing, we're missing, you know, 90% of what he wants to do with us. You know, it's not a job. We're not workers. We're co-workers with him, but that's in cooperation with him. This isn't our, I'm just pausing us for a minute.
I feel like before I zoned in on physical healing, I knew that the Lord healed more than just physical.
Mm.
One of the first things he did with me was basically just show me, like, that he wanted to heal me emotionally.
Mm.
But when you zone in on physical healing, sometimes, like, you start looking for only results. And now I'm kind of, like, trying to find the balance because I know so many people that are physically hurting, but at the same time I can see, like, emotional issues playing there. And I feel like I want to depend on the Holy Spirit to lead me, and I don't want to say something that could almost, like, offend them.
Mm.
That was kind of like the reason I asked, like, people who are offended by someone just coming out and saying, like, emotional issues, but physical they're not really offended by. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. The funny thing is, I have found if you are operating again, these all sound like, you know, mechanical things. If you're flowing, let's put it that way. He is a river. He is the living waters flowing through us. If we're flowing in the Holy Spirit, people are not offended by you touching their emotional needs. Okay? I mean, total strangers will tell you the pain in their hearts. Not because you have, you know, demanded it of them, but because you are being led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has set it up. He sets it up. Oh, she's going to be at such and such a place at such and such a time. This person's been crying out to God. Okay, great. Good match. You know what I mean? He does it like that. So they're not offended. They are like, oh, you've answered my prayer.
Oh.
Okay? It's very, but that's truly, that is the richness of being led by the Spirit. When I have done it from there, it is like, it is such a dance. I mean, you're higher than a kite. You're on the clouds because you are just letting him take you. And instead of running after somebody, okay, this one has a broken arm, this one's in a wheelchair, this one has, you know, that injury, this one has a cane. And I'm not saying praying for people who are sick is wrong. I would never say that. They need to be healed. But you're not going to be able to do every single one. But he will position you perfectly to actually minister to somebody that has been crying out to him, and you don't know them. You don't know whether they're Christians. You don't know whether they're unbelievers. It doesn't matter. He just, you know, he'll do things for each one of us. He'll do things differently. So with me, he sometimes puts a light. For some reason, it's on Black Africans. Why he puts a light above their head, I don't know, but he likes to do it. So if it's a Black, you know, somebody from Zimbabwe or South Africa or Nigeria or whatever, he puts a light over their head, and I'm like, oh gosh, well, you obviously want me to go over there. And I do. And these people will have these amazing stories where I'll say, look, you know, this may sound weird. You know, sometimes you just approach them. Just be honest. Look, this may sound weird, but I pray for people and I see God heal, do amazing healings. And he's just guided me to come over to you. Do you need any prayer? And I had this one couple, this African couple, that he put the light over their heads or over the father's head. And they had two children that were very sick, seriously sick, that were there with them. And they said the daughter had just had her gallbladder removed, and she was all of 8 years old. And the boy had sickle cell anemia. And they had been praying that day, and they had said they decided to go to the particular shopping center that I went to that day. They decided, and they were asking God, believing him for healing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So we could go. I could have gone to all the other people that were passing by. You know, there were other people that were in physical, you could see them physically, they needed healing. But this is the one he drew me to. Now, I don't want to second guess God. And I know it says in the Bible, heal the sick. And it doesn't make any reference to, you know, are they sick like this? You know, whether they're mentally, emotionally, physically, or whatever. It just says heal the sick. But we have the Holy Spirit who actually guides us. And I think some people have dropped him out of the equation completely. And it is absolutely, it is a tragedy. It's beyond a tragedy. It actually is dangerous. Because without the Holy Spirit leading us, who is one with us, who is the heart of the Father, where are we going to go? Whose agenda are we following? Is it a man? Is it a doctrine? Is it a teaching? Or is it God? That's our choice. You know, he says, I was reading it this morning, and I love this scripture. It is so amazing. In 1 John, I was reading it with my husband this morning. We were doing our Bible study. And it's 1 John 27. And it is, I'm just writing it down for everybody. And it says, listen to this. But the anointing, which obviously is the Holy Spirit, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you. Isn't that amazing? But the same anointing that teaches you.
It's so amazing.
Concerning all things and is true. That anointing is true. No man is as true as God. Because what does it say? Let God be true and every man a liar. Now that doesn't mean we intentionally try to lie. But come on. We don't see the whole picture. And people will say, oh, well, I have the mind of Christ. Well, you have the mind of Christ, but you didn't create everything. You know, I mean, we are in a different position here. God's still on the throne. Hallelujah. So so it says that. Go ahead.
When you go to pray, for example, like you go out to the streets, do you say, like, Holy Spirit, lead me?
This is what I guess
the reason sometimes people don't want to go with that is because they feel like they have to pray themselves up before they go, as opposed to just going with authority.
No,
but I guess I'm not really sure.
Yes,
like,
yes,
what,
no. It's a great question. Yeah. It's a great question. What I originally just went out, and whoever I saw that looked sick, that's where I went. Okay. Well, obviously, they would have a physical sickness, and that's how I started. You know, and after doing that with hundreds of people,
I just want to share something.
Sure.
On this point. Sure. In the Bible says that. Go in the world and give my witness.
Yes.
This is the order for each and every person.
Yes.
To go in the world and give his witness.
Yes.
That he give his life for us and his blood clean our all sins. And he is raised from death. We need to give his witness to all nations.
Yes.
It is not matter that sometimes people are just waiting for God that give them direction.
Mm.
I believe that God always gives us direction.
Yes. Yes.
This is the direction of God.
Absolutely.
Go in the world and give his witness.
Yes.
This is the direction of the Lord.
Yes.
And these words are from the God words.
Yes.
It's not for my words.
Yes.
It's not for any pastor words,
yes.
The words of God, and God gave order to all of us to go and preach the words of God and make disciples of all nations.
Yep, absolutely.
Not for your own country, not for your neighbors, not for your church, whole world.
Yes.
Because God is a creator of whole world.
That's right.
He not want that any people will die in sin. He wants that people to come back to Christ and repent and have an eternal life.
Mm.
So, sometimes people just waiting the Lord that give them direction.
Yes.
I believe that God already give a direction. So, we need to move that way. Where we want to go, where we have a chance to go, we need to go there. And we need to give his witness. In Pakistan, I want to share that.
Mm.
In Pakistan, we have a lot of persecutions.
Mm.
In Pakistan, you know, it's a Muslim country. And in Pakistan, preaching the words of God is not very easy job. It's a challenging for us. And we have no fear. Because God is with us. God give us a direction.
Amen.
Because we need to go in the world. We need to go where we can go. And we need to give his witness to the nations. We need to give his witness to the peoples who are lost. Because God loved all of us. God loved each and single person.
Mm.
That is why he gave his only son for us, that we will be we will be, have an eternal life and believe on Him. So God gives us already direction.
Yes.
Just we need to move.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
And when we accept Lord as Savior, the Holy Spirit is fill ourselves with His anointing. God fill His fill ourselves in His anointing. And the Paul says that when you are weak, He will give us His power.
Mm.
He give us His energy. He give us His anointing to us.
Mm.
So we need to just move, and we need to give His weakness to nations.
Yes. Well, I see what we're talking about specifically is there's some healing movements going on right now. Okay, and they might tend to. The picture I get is like do surgery, so they just take a portion of the word, and they make that the primary focus. So we're talking about some people have been almost in a place of oppression about it. They feel guilty if they're not laying hands on people all the time. They feel guilty if they're not healing the sick. And we're trying to get people out from under that. Okay, so what you're saying is true. That is the foundation. We are to be a witness in whatever capacity. Now, some people. Now, you're an evangelist. Okay, so your focus is total, just witness for salvation. Absolutely. And we all are to be ministers of reconciliation. We're going to do it different ways.
Amen.
Some people have, healing is a very big focus for them. It's a passion for them. And they, anytime they see someone sick, the compassion in their heart through Jesus just pours out. And they can't stop it. We're talking about coming from a righteous place in whatever we do. Because some people have turned it into a mechanical, robotic operation. And you're probably not aware of that, but that's happening in some of the Western countries. Okay? And that's what we're dealing with.
I just only share that because Sister Elizabeth is talking about the direction.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I just shared that. That is why I just shared that. Holy Spirit just guided me. I need to share some things.
Sure.
Because we already have a direction, and God gave us direction, and we need to move their directions.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Yes, someone's asked me to finish the testimony too. Yeah, I started praying for everyone in the beginning, and it was just, whoever was sick, whoever was sick. Now, and I did that for many, many months. And it got to, the more that I drew closer to God, the more His heart started occupying my heart, the more I wanted to be near Him, with Him, like Him, the more I let the Holy Spirit invade me, I got to a place where I turned it over to Him. And I said, this feeling of being duty bound, of feeling obligated, of feeling oppressed, of feeling condemned, that if I don't do this, obviously I'm not a real believer, because that's been the premise that some people are teaching from, that if you're really a believer, you lay hands on the sick and they recover, you cast out demons, you raise the dead, all of this. Otherwise, obviously you're not a believer. They're making, rather than grace being through faith being why you're a believer, that's what gives me, that's why I'm saved, not because I healed 20 people today, but it's become a onerous burden for some people. So I was going from there, LD, that's what I was referring to, and I came to a place, like, it's almost like, you were in this narrow path that was squishing you on both sides, and you were feeling so oppressed, and you knew it was wrong, because that is not God. You knew it was love that had to move you, and compassion, and I just started letting Him take over, and the Holy Spirit would dance with me, and He would show me this person, and 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 it was exactly what they wanted. They were like dry deserts, and these streams of living water would come out of my mouth. The prayers, you'd lay hands, the Holy Spirit would fill them up, and it was amazing. And that is where I want to come from. Not from a place of duty, not from a place of what they call obedience, because true obedience, what does He want us to be obedient to? Is love. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, and all our soul. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So it's all based on love. Or otherwise, it becomes another taskmaster. And as Lizzie said earlier, we have not received a spirit of bondage again to slavery, but a spirit of adoption in which we cry out, Abba, Father. And that's where we want to minister from with others, and that's where we want to be with Him. He's our daddy, and we can speak to at any moment. He's given us His very spirit There is, I mean, how much more could he do? I mean, through, you know, through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Christ, we are already one. So why in the world would we cut him off and go, well, I don't really need to listen to this Holy Spirit thing because, you know, I know what my duty is and I know that I've got to be obedient. That's like saying, that would be like saying with our own fathers, say that we're, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, whatever, with our own fathers going, look, I don't need you anymore, mate. You're really not important to me. Or say we're 10-year-olds, make it better. You know, you're not important to me. I'm off on my own. I mean, that would be insanity. And with us, we never leave home. Not with God. We never leave home because he abides in us. So we're always together. So to ignore him or dismiss him or minimize him or basically make him as non-existent is living in a place of absolute, it's a delusion. It's not even true. And we will not operate from a place of love if that's what we're doing. So I hope that answers your question, Aldi. So what I just basically had to do, and it sometimes it's a fight in yourself, because do you know how he says there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus that walk according to the Spirit, not walk according to the dictates of the flesh? Well, we, moment by moment, we decide. Now, we're already saved. We're already in him. That isn't the question. The question is, which way do I want to go? Do I want to be Spirit-led or flesh-led? Spirit-led, flesh-led. Every step we take. And what I'm finding, there are times when we still go back to the flesh because we like it, because it feels secure. The Holy Spirit will take you places you never imagined were real. You know, like in Star Trek, it says, take you to, you know, to places no man has gone before. That's where the Holy Spirit will take you. We have to let go and let him be God. He really, yes. You know, really. Amen. You know, we have to just let him be God. And I don't want it any other way. The other way is constraint, bondage, oppression, and it's man. It's man leading, not God. The Holy Spirit is in. He didn't give us that spirit so that we could, you know, dictate our own steps. You know how he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? From salvation, well, even before salvation, he's ordered our steps from the foundation of the world. Why would we not want to take those? Rather than taking our own or some man's teaching or some prophet's saying or whatever it is, we need, and he even says, test all the spirits. You know, just because someone says something and it sounds good or clever or it's a scripture, but it isn't in the fullness of God, that's what we have to look at, the fullness of God. He wants us to know him fully. That's his will. And that's what he says in Matthew 7:21. Yes, that's exactly right. Without feeling and experiencing his love, you feel compelled to earn it. And all he wants is us to know him fully, and the Holy Spirit is there to give it to us. We've got it already. All we have to do is pay attention. I remember, I was just sitting with the Holy Spirit and just asking for him to bring his presence. I know he's in me, but he also comes upon me. And in that union of him in me and upon me is amazing. And I couldn't feel him the way I was before. And I thought, oh, am I tired? Oh, am I this? And he made me laugh. He's like, you want to feel me? Feel me. I'm here. Like, what are you doing? What do you think? I went somewhere. I went down to the shops for a minute. You know, I haven't gone anywhere. And he was laughing with me. I mean, he jokes with me because I'm pretty silly. And you know, he has a great sense of humor about it. But we have a relate. You know what's so amazing about the Holy Spirit? He is actually a person. When we say person, it's true. He is really a person. The Spirit of the living God is a person, which is really hard for us to get our hands around because we know Jesus and he's got a name. We know Abba Father because he's got a name. Holy Spirit, what kind of name is that? You know, we don't know how to relate to that, but he's a person. And once we get to realize that we walk, you know, all right, he's in us, but we walk hand in hand in a sense, even though he's actually in us. He's merged with us. His molecules are, well, our molecules are merged with him. There is no separation. Like water. My husband showed it to me this week. You know, he took a glass of water and he put in some food dye. He said, can you separate that water from the color? I was like, no. That's us and the Holy Ghost. That's how it is. And that's why people are missing it when they deny him.
Feeling him or knowing that?
Sorry, say again?
I'm wondering. Is it always a matter of feeling him or just knowing that he's there?
I think it's
just knowing that he's indwelling you.
Well, you knowing he's indwelling, but you can actually experience him as well. You can have both. They're not mutually exclusive. As you know him, you feel him. As you feel him, you know him. It's a cycle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like that. You don't have to do one or the other. Okay, I'm just going to take this by faith. The Holy Spirit's in me. Okay, by faith. Yeah, that's really fun. You know, we need faith before we experience. But once once something has been manifested, you don't need faith anymore. Faith is there. You know, it's the substance of things hoped for. Once it's there, you don't need faith in it. You actually have it. You experience it. And he wants us to have that. Because he's a person. We're in relationship. So it's both ways. You know, just like you would know, say, you know me, Lizzie, right? But you, when we talk, when we have our big Skype long conversations, we not just know each other, we can feel each other's, can't you, as a friend? Where the person is, if they're down, if they're up, it's exciting. Yeah. Through the Holy Spirit, we really have a connection because we're one. And you won't have that with everybody.
Yeah.
If they're not with him and if they're not open to him, you're not going to have that same experience, are you? Even though you know them, you know, that you go out to lunch with your friend or whatever, but they're not, that the spirit isn't just flowing out of them and flowing out of you. And so you're merging in that sense. You know, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about getting so caught up in feelings, but it's just like a marriage. You know, if you're married, you don't want to just know your husband and like, oh yeah, that's his name, and he and I go out to dinner, and I do his laundry, and you know, he makes the money, and oh, it's very nice. You know, we're to know him. That's the way God wants us to know him. Total oneness, total intimacy. So that includes everything. You know, feelings as well. Feelings get a bad rap, and I know they can mislead us, but we can give our feelings over to the Holy Spirit. And he will guide those as well. He will guide everything, everything. He will guide every waking moment when we yield to him. And it is an amazing, it becomes, I remember I had this experience of just, you know, continually yielding. And I was speaking to someone, praying with someone, and then just speaking. And the words that came out of my mouth, it was like there was no separation between me and the Holy Spirit. We were totally matched. And I thought, oh my goodness, you mean this is what you mean? This is what you're offering? And we get scared. I would say most of us are afraid. I know I have been. Because when you touch the Holy Spirit and you allow yourself to be led by him, you go into the vastness of the universe. It's the big place. It's bigger than what it's not kindergarten Christianity anymore. It's total unity, quantum physics, and everything beyond. It's something
anything can happen.
Anything, exactly. Exactly.
So when you're experiencing
anything can happen.
Exactly.
And
happen because God makes everything possible. And
that's right.
Happened.
That's right.
He is the God of impossibles.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. And what we need to yield to that impossibility. You know, it says that anything's possible with God, everything's possible with God, however it goes, and anything's possible for him who believes. Well, we need to believe with him that anything's possible, and we will have it. We just agree. All we do is agree with the incredible nature of God, who is unlimited. He once showed me in a vision. I was praying for a particular issue, and he showed me in a vision. He had these huge words in big, like concrete letter, not concrete, like stone, big stones. And it said in the big letters all the way across this vision, the willingness of God. And you could get the sense behind it where his arms open wide, like there ain't no limit. That's his willingness.
Wow.
That's how he really is. And that's why it says, whatsoever you desire. It says whatsoever. It doesn't say, oh, if you desire just this, and if you desire just that, whatsoever you desire. That can be bad and good. We will get it. So we've got to line ourselves like our mouths up. It's so important.
How Jesus said.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I love how Jesus said, whoever humbles himself and becomes like a little child, it says like, you know, become like a little child into the kingdom of heaven. That's how I think of like childlike faith. You just believe. Like little kids, like 4 or 5, they just know that like God can do miracles. Like it's just like comes natural to them. They're like, yeah, God can do anything. Like God can right now, just make, like, everyone better, like.
It's just because the children are so innocent.
Yeah.
That is why I said that when we need to go to Kingdom of God, we need to be like a child. Because children are so innocent.
That's how I feel when I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel like a child and He's leading me, and it's just amen. Insane.
Yes, I am agree with you.
It's awesome.
Oh, Aiden, turn that down. Turn it down for a minute. Turn it down. Sorry. I'm just going to pause it for a second because I've got to... We're not self-sufficient because we are totally one with the Father. So how can we be self-sufficient anyway? It doesn't even make sense, even on a logical level. And to try to run the race on our own? Wow. How far are you going to get? You will either burn out or you will give up. Because there's no sustenance in it, and it's all man-produced and man-made, and we're of the spirit now. We're in the supernatural world. That's where we live. And somebody's just written. Even medical doctors who make up vaccines and stuff are still depending on the body to cooperate. Yeah, I believe God is all behind all healing too. Yes, I mean he's the author of witty inventions, regardless of what type of invention. You know, we just have to basically tap in and go, okay, yeah. Lord. I mean, my husband is an inventor, and we have to get some things designed and patented. But they're amazing things. I mean, some are life-saving things, some are just practical, but it'll just pop into his head out of nowhere. And even though he's a very practical man, he's a very hands-on man, he can fix anything.
God's a creator, so
that's
he's
right.
like the
that's
best
right.
artist.
That's right. And exactly. So... What the
God is creator, and God manifested new things in our bodies when something is fair in our body, and when we pray with faith, God manifested new things in our
right.
body as well.
That's right. Exactly.
I have example. I have witness. One of my cousin, she doctor says that she is not live anymore because she has a problem in his belly, and that problem is very critical. And the doctor says that you need to pray. She is not live anymore. And I just start crying, and I am in the hospital with my cousin and with his family, and I start crying and praying to God in the hospital that you are the creator of the whole earth. You are the creator of new things. You make everything possible. I pray for that my cousin and God make a wonderful miracles in her life, and now she is living, and she is living a very blessed life.
How
because God created, God manifested new things in his life, and she is living a very blessed life now.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
And I praise a lot for her, for him.
Mm. Glory to God.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, and that's how we can.
And when me and one of my guest preachers, we are in a village, and we have a prayer meeting there, and we start praying and we start worshiping the Lord, and me and one of the guest preachers, we stand and the worship team start worshiping, and me and the guest preacher close our eyes, and we also start worshiping the living God. And suddenly, one of the blind person came to us, and we start crying for him, and we take our hands on his eyes, lay hand on his eyes, and start praise, and we got agreement with each other that this person got a new manifested eyes in got new eyes in his body, and then when we lay hands. Remove our hands on his eyes, we saw that man have a new eyes.
Wow.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you, Lord.
And the thing is, I seek that this is what we have found. So some of us have learned originally we've learned like from a method, from an understanding of that, you know, we already have it now, that Jesus already healed everyone, so it isn't something that he's withholding. Depending on a time, he's already done it by the stripes of Jesus. And what we found, so I think what God is really looking to do is give a balance between not people just waiting around saying, well, it's God's timing, or maybe one day he'll do it, or maybe not for this person. No, he did it all. We need to know how to flow in that, but not from a place, and this is the part you wouldn't be exposed to, I don't think, Asik, because it's very much of a Western idea, not from a place of mechanical, okay, well, I just do this. I lay hands on the sick and I say, la, 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 okay. All right, how's that feel? Is that better? Okay, good. La, 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 la. You know, it becomes very much like a machine rather than the fact that you can have his healing power can be flowing out of you at all times. I mean, Jesus did it. We're supposed to be as he is, so are we in the world.
Yes,
we want it flowing.
Right, and we are working in the same way that you said. We just lay hands and we just pray.
Yep.
And we cry to God for his healings.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord that God touched that person and God healed that person that night.
Yes. The thing that the whole, I would call it, authority movement has given people, there is a benefit to it, but it's just people have turned to it to such a degree that it's kind of twisted our understanding of God and made God small and made man big again, and we all know where that comes from. So what we're talking about is that knowing that we have the authority is that I can go up to any person, anywhere, anytime, for anything, and say, God will heal that, because he already did. Now, I have seen lots of instant healings. I've also seen healings that were processed, or where they've gotten just a certain, you know, they've gotten some improvement. I have seen where they haven't seen anything, and then 2 days later, they're completely healed. So I know his word. I trust his word. His word says that by the stripes of Jesus, they were healed, or we were healed, everybody. So it's learning to bring that, you know, we're not begging God. We're not asking, oh, please, please, please. We're saying, we know your word. We know what you did. We love what you did. And we agree with it. And in Jesus' name, yes, this person's healed. You know, we come from that kind of a place. But we don't want it, which is something, Asik, like I said, that you wouldn't be exposed to. We don't want it to become where, oh, I'm such a hot shot. I'm such a big time one in God that I can, you know, I lay hands and look what I did today. I grew out 40 legs and I did this and I got someone healed of cancer. No, you didn't. I is not the point. It's him. Because we can do nothing without Christ, that we do all things with him. It's learning that we're together. We're together. And why people want to cut him off. People want to cut him off because they are afraid of actually the depth of God's love is so incredible. People would rather try to make him small and minimal in their lives, even though they're Christians, than allow him to absolutely overwhelm them and take over.
The Holy Spirit would break like a lot of cultural boundaries because,
yes,
like the Western world, it's so work driven.
Yes.
That,
yes,
for some reason, I feel like people have molded God into that,
yes,
cultural mindset.
Absolutely.
Of like,
I just want that. We just need to give glory to God because we are nothing. We are just just of the earth. It is God who give us power and who use us for his glory.
Amen.
So we need to give to God, glory to God.
We always
give. He worked through us.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, we do give glory. We give glory to him. I wouldn't agree with that we're nothing because we're one with him now. But it's always him. It's the focus is always him. It could be nothing else, or that we would have nothing. But he's the generosity of the heart of the Father is that he's made us one with him for eternity. I mean, that still knocks my socks off. I don't know about anybody else, but that is more than amazing. You know, that is more than enough to motivate me to care about others. How can I not? How can I not? When he sees us this precious, he also sees them that precious. And that's why, Lizzie, when you were saying this, when you minister in the streets and say they don't have a physical thing, but, you know, the Holy Spirit tells you something, that this person's depressed or this person's hurting or whatever he says. And you minister from that place of compassion and how precious they are in the sight of God because he shed that blood for them. Man, I don't know of anyone who can resist that. I haven't seen anyone resist that. They will resist if it's about me and I want to get numbers up and I want to pray for somebody because, you know, that makes me feel good and I can tell everybody how they got healed. And they'll resist that because people can feel when it's authentic. and when it isn't. But they will not resist genuine love. They don't. They don't. I've had people hold my hands. I've only a couple of occasions. I would love to have this happen every day. But I've had people hold my hands that are not believers. And I'm not even asking if they, you know, how's your hand? You know, this one lady had psoriasis or not, whatever, eczema, really badly on her hands. They were all cracked, and she was at somebody's house. And I overheard. And when she came into the kitchen, I just said, oh, I heard you had, you know, eczema or whatever. And I just said, you know, we pray for God. We pray for people and God heals them. We've seen amazing miracles. And can I pray for you? And she just looked at me with, obviously God was just pouring out of me. She just looked at me with just this childlike wonder. Gives me your hands. And she won't let go of them. You know, there was she had a mobile phone call. Her daughter was picked up the phone and said, oh, Mom, it's for you. She said, not now, I'm busy. She won't let go of my hands. It was amazing. And I didn't ask her, you know, is the eczema gone? What's it feel like? Da, da, da. I didn't do any of that. He was just pouring in, and then he gave me a word for her.
Hallelujah.
You know, he gave me a word for her, and the word, or a vision, actually, a picture of her as a little girl. And has she was a very tough woman on the outside. And he said, you don't have to be tough with me. It's okay. I know. And she's looking at me. Her blue eyes just got so big and bright. She looked like a 5-year-old. It was amazing. And this is what we can do. So, Lizzie, do you